Well, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for this chance to fellowship about the children and the children's work and even raising up our next generation for the Lord and for the church life. Oh, brothers and sisters, we live in the most difficult time. The situation in the world is in incredible decline. Our children are facing darkness that we could never imagine even a few years ago. And so more than ever, more desperately than ever, we need a clear vision on what the Lord needs and how we could raise up our next generation to prepare them for the Lord's use. In this session this afternoon, we're going to fellowship about two words, proper humanity. I really appreciated Brother Ricky's burden in message number one about how God is seeking. He wants the seed of God. Why did he make the two one? Because he sought the seed of God. Also, those verses in Malachi tell us he hates divorce and he brings couples together, husband and wife, to produce children, children that could be useful to him in his hands. And so, in these sessions, we really want to touch some of the key factors and the key burden related to raising up our next generation. I would like to start by, again, strengthening this point that this is fellowship concerning the one piece. The one piece is an expression that Brother Lee used describing the children, the young people, and even the campus work, or three sections or three stages in the life of our children. And as they grow up, they advance step by step and level by level. They go on from elementary school to junior high and high school, and then they go into college or university. And after that, whether they go to the full-time training or they go into the job market, they begin to get married and have children. They become young working saints. The work continues. It never stops. One brother described it as a cycle. It's a circular function. It's not a pipeline. Although we've described it as a pipeline in the past, we have to be clear. This is a cycle, and the cycle continues to repeat. It begins with children, babies, infants. Then as they get a little older, they go to elementary school. And after that, they go to junior high and high school. I'm repeating myself. Eventually high school and then college. They get married, have children, and then the cycle continues. Except when the cycle continues, now they become the parents. They become the young working saints, the families, and now the burden is upon their shoulders. I would also like to strengthen the point that Brother Ray made that one of the main purposes of the children's work is for the increase of the church. Brother Lee described the children's work is a big gospel work. It's a work for the increase and building up of the church. Brother Nee said that half of the church's increase should come from our own families, from the families of the believers. He didn't say that half of our children should remain in the church life. No, that half of our increase should come from believers, from our families, and the other half from the world, from Egypt. Otherwise, the church will never be strong, and the gospel will never reach the uttermost parts of the earth. What a strong kind of statement made by our Brother Nee and Brother Lee. May the Lord open our eyes and may he touch our hearts as we enter into this burden. I also would like to just encourage you that as we cover these messages and we go through these points, that we have to exercise ourselves to receive it as food, not as a how-to. You know, we always try to avoid giving out methods, ways, techniques, strategies, We are not a Focus on the Family ministry. We're not here to tell you how to be a parent or how to raise up the children or how to have a children's work. Our burden is to impart a vision, even a vision of God's economy in raising up our next generation. And we're burdened to pass on to you how the Lord has led us through the ministry. You see the books behind me? I should point this way. The ministry has opened up this matter in a marvelous way, and we are here as disciples, as learners, and we have to take this as food. Don't take it as a demand. We are not operating in the principle of the law. We are here presenting dish after dish, supply after supply, grace upon grace, and vision upon vision that could control and govern us as we are parents and serving ones in the Lord's recovery. May this word not become something so subjective to us that we are defeated, but rather may we take it in and pray it back to the Lord to give the Lord the way to work out all that he has spoken through our brother's ministry. Okay? Now, before we start on the outline, I would like to mention 3 points. Number one is to do the children's work, and to do the children's work effectively, we need to see 3 things. That there's one vital factor. One vital factor. There are 2 lines in our work, and there are 3 governing principles. Number one, the one vital factor is the person living and responsibility of the parents in God's economy. No children's work in the churches can overcome or undo what the parents are in their being. So this touches us. This is serious. And you know, brothers and sisters, in my preparation of these materials, in my preparation for this fellowship, I am just before the Lord in repenting and confessing my own failures, my own weaknesses, my own mistakes as a parent, as a brother. And I'm just before the Lord that we could learn. We can learn together. Do not think that me or Ray or Ricky, that we're experts and that we've accomplished much and we're here to pass on our wisdom, our victory, our knowledge, but rather we're just brothers and sisters like you. We're just like you. How we need the Lord and how we just look to him, cry out to him that the Lord could among us raise up a generation of children and young people that become so precious in his hands. So the one vital factor is the person living and responsibility of the parents. I don't have time to develop that, but just to pass it on, this is the vital factor, is the parent's role, the parent's function, the parent's person, and the responsibility that the parents would bear before the Lord. The second point that I'd like to pass on, it's not on our outline, it's the 2 lines. There are 2 lines in our work with the next generation, and these 2 lines are very strategic. They're full of, excuse me, they're full of wisdom, and they are inspiring to me. They've really touched me very much. These 2 lines are what Ray shared in the last session about having the increase of the church also through the children, that the children's work is a big gospel, that the seed of God could become the seeds of the gospel. Now, they don't become seeds of the gospel while they're in elementary school or before they're saved, but we are preparing them. We are building them up. We are shaping them in such a way that through them and through our children, their friends' families, we could make many contacts and gain many for the Lord's recovery. So the first line is the increase through the gospel seeds, that our children would become seeds of the gospel. Okay, the second line is that we need to build up our children in their humanity to be proper human beings. So Ray covered the first line, and in the next three sessions, we're going to fellowship about building up our children in their humanity to be proper human beings. Of course, this is a matter of character and habit, and we as parents and as serving ones need to understand the wisdom of these two lines, okay? Then we come to three principles. Okay, these are the one, two, threes. You know, we're not trying to be cute or interesting in compiling this, but over the years, we've really come to learn there are three governing principles related to our work with the children as parents and as serving ones. We need to be clear, brothers and sisters, and if we're not clear, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to damage them with premature knowledge. We're going to treat them as grown-ups or as adults or as believers, and we may damage them. And that is a real possibility. So let's learn these three principles. Number one, the work with the children is a work before Christ, BC. It's in an era before their definite salvation. It's a shaping work. It's a work of preparation. We have that in our general subject. The one piece, the children's work, a work of preparation. So we have to realize that we're dealing with unbelievers. You might look at those children. They're so well behaved. The girls are so cute. The boys are so full of energy, but they're good kids. And we may mistake that to think that already we can begin to treat them like believers. But we have to be clear. May we become exceedingly clear. We are not dealing with believers. This is a work before Christ. It's a work BC. And as we go on today and tomorrow in this conference, I hope we can become very clear how to carry out this work. It's a gospel work. First ones to get saved should be our own children, and saved in a definite and dynamic way. Okay? We want to show you how Brother Lee's fellowship is leading the children to a personal and definite experience of God's salvation. Dynamic. They'll never forget it. Many of us, as second generation believers, we do not know when we got saved, how we got saved. We kind of just drifted into salvation. We can't explain it. Somewhere along the line, we accepted it, but we can't identify it. And this is a real tragedy. And we don't want to rob our children of a definite personal experience of God's salvation. Otherwise, how will they be able to preach the gospel if they didn't have that kind of precious experience of God's salvation? The second principle, now understand this, all of these need time to develop. The second principle is that the children's work and the work with the children before Christ is a work in the principle of the law. You heard me right. It's a work in the principle of law. The law was given as a child conductor to lead God's people to Christ. The law functions in a particular way. I'm going to give you four functions of the law. The first function of the law tells us what kind of God he is. He's a jealous God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a righteous God, a holy God, a truthful God. All the attributes of what God is. You see, the law points out to us what kind of God he is. The children need to know God. They need to know what kind of God he is. Number two, the law serves to condemn sinners. It exposes sinners. You see, sinners, unbelievers, don't realize their sinful condition before God. They don't realize that they are in a desperate situation. And so our children need to come to realize that they are fallen and they need a Savior. The law does that. The law functions in that way. When the children of Israel received the law, they said, all that God said, we will do and be obedient. Our children will be exactly the same. They think they can do this. They think they can be a good Christian. They could live a good Christian life. But it takes only a few years for them to realize they cannot do it. They can't make it. They can't take it. And they become desperate for help. So the third function of the law is that it subdues sinners. That's when a sinner comes to the point where he says, I can't do it. I can't be it. You see, the law will do that. The function of the law will bring a person to that place. And then the fourth function is the law then serves as a child conductor to bring unbelievers, sinners, to the Savior. Okay, our children's work is in the principle of law. That's how it should function. Our children's work should bring them little by little, step by step, to the point when they see their desperate need for a Savior. Okay? The third principle, and this is kind of a summary point, is that the children's work, the work with our children in our homes, and our children's work is a work of preparation. It's not a work of furnishing, of perfecting. It's not a work of teaching, of education. It's a work of preparation. What that means is that we realize that what we have in our hands is a lump of clay. They're not fully furnished. They're not fully developed. They're very soft, very easy to form, easy to shape, easy to adjust. They're young. And so we want to see how, as parents and as serving ones, we can mold them and shape them into vessels unto honor, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. We have to see that this is not a time to be teaching them a lot of doctrines, a lot of points. It's not a time for them to learn a lot. They need to be shaped and molded and prepared to receive God's salvation. Okay? So we have these three principles. First of all, it's a before Christ. It's a BC work. It's a work before salvation. Number two, it's in the principle of the law. And number three, it's a work of preparation. All right? So now let's come to the outline. The title of this session is called The Children's Work Being to Build Children Up in Their Humanity to Be Proper Human Beings. I hope you have the same outline that I do, because we've made some adjustments, and mine may not exactly say what yours does. But anyway, it's too late for me to try to look up the other one. Okay. Romans 1 says, today, many young people have been damaged with respect to their character. It is because of this that we have a children's work for the children. We need to build up their character. Okay, the title says building up the children in their humanity to be proper human beings. But this point mentions building them up in their character. Now, Brother Lee, in several books, the book called Character, another book called Useful, or I have to find it. I'll tell you maybe in the next session. I don't have time to look it up. Vessels Unto Honor, something like this. Brother Lee speaks a lot about character, and he urges us to build up the children's character. Character is, he's described, he defined character as 30% inborn nature, disposition, and 70% habit. And so you could say that character really speaks about building up the children with proper habits, and that he urges us to not neglect the details, the little things in our daily life. Teaching the children to make their bed, comb their hair, brush their teeth, dress themselves in a proper way. Teach them to build up habits, to say thank you, to say please, to speak in a particular way to their teachers, to finish their work, to do their homework. There's so many things that we can do to build up habits in our children, in the small little details of human life. Well, you know, so I asked the question, and I've been asking this question for 10 years. I have to tell you the truth. When Brother Lee said, building up their character, and he says, build them up in their humanity, I was very much before the Lord and researching the ministry to try to understand, is there a difference between building up their humanity and building up their character? And I came to realize, and the Lord covers me and covers you, I would like to tell you what I understand to be the difference between building up a child in their character and building up the child in their humanity. To build up a child in his character is to build them up with habits, proper habits, doing the same thing every day at the same time, getting up in the morning, going to bed at night, whether or not they can use their devices, screen time, 1 hour, and build up habits. Do their homework immediately upon coming home from school. Do the same thing. And I have to tell you, my father was very strong in this. And in our family, and I've told you this before, I've mentioned this, he woke up our whole family. He walked through the house flipping on the light at 6 o'clock every morning. He woke us up, and we all gathered in the living room in a circle for Bible reading and prayer. And you know what? I don't know what word to use, but this was something not just trained into my mind, but my body still wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I almost never need an alarm clock. It's because a habit was formed within my being in the earliest years of my life. Sometimes I want to say, oh, I'm going to sleep in, and no way. You know, I wake up, and there I am. I'm laying in bed. I'm wide awake, and it's hard to even sleep past 6 o'clock. This is what a habit will do for you. So we raise up our children with habits. This is how to build them up in their character, related to so many matters, and we'll touch it in the outline. Concerning humanity, building them up in their humanity. Now, I feel this matter is so precious. Almost I have no words to describe the impression within me concerning this matter of building them up in their humanity. And it's very much related to character. Character is very much a part of their humanity. Their humanity includes their character. But I would impress you that to build them up in their humanity is to build them up in their human virtues. God made us in God created man in his own image. That means that the attributes of God were created as human virtues in the man that God created. There's a human virtue to match every one of God's divine attributes, whether it's love or light or righteousness or holiness, whether it's truthfulness or whatever. Whatever it is, it's in the human being. It was created in the human vessel. Now these, let me just describe a few virtues. They're not necessarily character points. They're not something that you would say is a habit, but they are something very human. The first one, the top human virtue is compassion. How many times we read the New Testament where the Lord was moved with compassion? Compassion is what? It's the love of God expressed in humanity. It's also, the love of God is also expressed in humanity as sympathy and kindness and forgiveness. You see, these are human virtues. These are not necessarily character items. Character items, genuine and exact, and you know, some of those kind of points are very, very important. Don't misunderstand me. But when we talk about humanity, we're talking about the depths of the human being, the human vessel. And these are virtues that can be developed in a child from their earliest years, to forgive their brother, to show kindness to some. At school, there are some that are mocked and bullied, but our children could show kindness, can show forgiveness and kindness and sympathy, compassion, love. You see, I don't know where to classify this. I think the only way to classify it is to build up our children in their humanity. And we'll have a lot to say about that as we go through this outline. Okay, this first Roman numeral, sorry, I'm almost done with my time, halfway through my time, and I'm still on the first Roman numeral. Look what it says. It says, many young people have been damaged with respect to their character. It is because of this that we have a children's work for the children. The young people have become damaged. That means they're what? Teenagers, they're in college, they're in the universities with damaged humanity. And because of that, we need to do a work with the children. That means this work starts when they're little to build their character. In one portion, listen to this, one portion I read, Brother Lee said that a young person's character is almost completely formed by the time they're 15 years old. That means if you try to wait to do this kind of work until after they're saved or after they're in the young people's work, it may be too late. They've already built up habits of laziness, of carelessness, looseness, and by that time it's hard to change. It's really hard to change. So because the young people have become damaged, this is the reason why we have the children's work for the children, to build up their character. The second point A says, the children must be built up as proper human beings. There's that phrase again. This is a matter of character, that is, behavior and habit. This means as parents, we have to require and demand from our children a kind of behavior that matches us, that matches our standard, that matches what we feel a proper child at that age should be. This is a matter of behavior and habit. There are some things we shouldn't tolerate with our children. Some things we shouldn't, you know, I don't want to talk about myself, but when I was growing up, there was something my father would not ever tolerate. And that was any kind of rebellion, any kind of talking back to my mom, to my dad. Oh, you'd bring down the wrath of God if you were rebellious. Even at school, if he heard a report that we had been disrespectful to a teacher. Oh, this was serious. You see, he demanded a kind of behavior from us. And this is good. This is right. The children then grow up in a certain way with limits and restrictions. You know, in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in the heavens." You know, our teachers, their teachers and their classmates should see something different in our children. Point B says, from their youth, they must learn what? To honor their parents. Maybe this is what my dad put into me. To love their brothers and sisters, and to respect others. Love, honor, respect. I like these terms. I think these are very, very crucial. Point C, we do not need to give the young ones too much knowledge of the Bible. Now, it doesn't say no knowledge of the Bible, but do not think that by teaching them a lot of the Bible, that it's a help for them. Here it says, we should rather build them up with the proper ethics and morality that will constitute a proper character. Okay, here we have two more words, ethics and morality. Isn't this the principle of law? This is not something we teach in the church meetings. It's not something we get in the seven feasts. We get God's economy. We get grace. We get love, kindness, forgiveness. But with the children, we have to raise them up with the proper ethics and morality. That implies a kind of standard for behavior. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child according to the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." This is really true. Some of the things that my father and mom put into me as a child still operate within me. Good or bad, I don't know. Okay, let's come to Romans 2. Character has very much to do with the Lord's service. Consider those persons in the Bible whom God used. They were used by God because they possessed a character that was fit for his use. Saints, this is exactly what we're burdened for, is that on the whole earth, from the Far East to the Middle East, from the four corners of this earth, that in the homes of the saints, there would be a generation of children and young people coming up that are all like Abraham, Moses, and Paul, fit for his use, really can be used by him. A says, since Abraham, Moses, and Paul all had an excellent character, God greatly used them. The destiny of our usefulness, their usefulness, to the Lord hinges on our character, or you could say hinges on their character. Okay. Saints, we need to be impressed. This is one of the key lines of our work with the children. B says, character is a serious matter. The measure of grace we receive of the Lord and the degree to which the function of that grace is manifested are determined by the kind of character that we have. Okay, the measure of grace. You know, we all receive grace when we believed in the Lord. In fact, one of the verses here, it says, each one as he has received a gift, ministering the same among yourselves as good stewards of the varied grace of God. That's 1 Peter 2:5. Then, in order that he might, well, saints, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:7. Each one of us received grace from the Lord when we believed in him. And remember, this is work before Christ. So we're building up their character in such a way so they could receive an abundance of grace that could be manifested in the future in their usefulness in the Lord's hands. Okay, let's come to Romans 3. To build up a proper humanity is the way to prepare the children to be the best material to receive God's grace. Okay, here, now we come to this point that the children's work is a work of preparation. And how do you prepare the children to receive the Lord's grace? Is to build them up in their humanity, to build up a proper humanity. What we're doing is we're shaping and molding vessels, all right? Hey, it is best to help the children grow up in their humanity by helping them know what a proper human being is, how to honor their parents, how to be a proper child, a proper student, respecting the teacher. All the children are mocking the teacher, not obeying the teacher, but our children respect the teacher. Our children honor their parents. You see, this is how to build them up in their humanity. let's go on. Well, you know, Ephesians 6:1-2, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, for this is right. Colossians 1:10 says, to walk worthy of the Lord, to please him in all things. Proverbs 22:6, I said it already, train up a child in the way that he should go. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now look at this point. Point B says, since our families are part of the fallen race, we parents must exercise God's ordination to restrict our children by ethical teachings, regulations, and discipline. You know, when man fell in Genesis chapter 3, right away, God came in with restriction. He came in with discipline. He came in with regulations. And this became it served as a protection to fallen mankind. And our brother urges us to do what? We have to realize our children are part of the fallen race. This is our second, this is our first principle. It is before Christ. They are part of a fallen race and they need to be restricted. They need regulations. They need discipline. And don't think, according to the modern mind, that our children should just be free to grow, to just be loose, lazy, careless. No, we have to exercise God's ordination to restrict our children, restrict their time on devices, to restrict their time on television, on other things. restrict their behavior, restrict their conduct. How? By ethical teachings, regulations, and discipline. Point C, for proper human living in your home, you must teach your children to behave properly. This is going on in your home. By honoring their parents, caring for their brothers and sisters, respecting their neighbors, and not stealing. Do you see the realm that our brother is teaching us, leading us in the ministry about our home life with the children? Probably we're doing a lot of this already. I would expect that to be the case. And this should be an encouragement to us and a strengthening to us that this is the right way for us to go. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." That means the fathers have to exercise some control over their temper. But it says, "But nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord." Discipline them nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. When Brother Nee spoke about nurturing our children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, he gave us 5 points. You could never believe what these 5 points are. The first one is to help our children to have proper aspirations, not to aspire to be a multimillionaire, to be rich, to be a Nobel Prize winner, to have some glory in the world. No, to give them proper aspirations to serve the Lord, even to suffer on behalf of the Lord, to live for the Lord. Number two, he said that we should never feed our children's pride. We don't need to destroy their pride, destroy them, but we shouldn't feed it. We shouldn't exalt them over others or make them to feel proud about themselves. Later on, they will not be able to get along with others. They may not be able to coordinate in the church life. They may always end up high-minded, proud, arrogant, unblendable. So we don't want to do that, but we don't want to destroy them either. Just help them to be humble and proper. Point three, he said we need to help our children accept defeat with grace. We all lose. We're going to fail a test. We're going to lose in a race. We're going to lose a baseball game, a basketball game, football game. And many times our children will blame the referee or the umpire, will blame the teachers, will blame others. But we need to teach our children to accept defeat with grace. Do you see how these points will really help them in their Christian life later on? You see, if they're blaming others for failures, they're going to do that when they're old in the church life. They're going to, if they learn to accept defeat with grace, they'll learn how to repent, how to turn, how to be open. Number four, we have to teach our children how to make choices. And we have to tell them when their choices are wrong, but help them to learn how to make decisions and how to choose rightly. If you make all the decisions for them, they will not know how to be responsible for anything. And finally, he said, how to manage their things. This is how to nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. I found it so striking that none of those points were truly spiritual. They were very human, very much in proper humanity. Okay? Point D. We come to point D because children are too young to behave according to Christ. Again, making this point that the work with the children is before Christ. They must be taught to behave according to culture. Children are preserved by culture while they are growing up. Now, we don't mean the evil things of today's culture, for sure. We don't mean that. But today's culture includes obeying the laws, obeying your teachers, going to school, getting a higher education, living as a proper citizen in your country or your society. This is what culture does. It teaches us a particular way of life. And so this is what Brother Lee pointed out. The verses here is, let every person be subject to the authorities over him, for there is no authority over, except from God. How about this age of lawlessness and rebellion? You see, these elements of today's culture are really not the culture we're talking about. We're talking about being subject, not just submissive, not just obedient. To be subject has to do with your whole being. It's an attitude. It's a deep submission. You're subject. You're under. You're under. You're below. And you're obedient. Point E says, in caring for children, their children, Christian parents, now it's parents, need to preach the law to them. We should not first preach grace to the children. If we give them regulations according to the law will keep them in custody for Christ. Okay, both culture in point D and the law in point E function as the law, as a child conductor, to bring our children to Christ. They will learn through their failures, through their weaknesses, through their mistakes, that they need the Savior. They need the Lord Jesus to save them. But this point says that the parents need to preach the law. Thou shalt not kill. The Lord uplifted this law. You shall not hate. And you should not say, call someone Raka, or call them names. That is to hate. That is to kill. He talks about committing adultery. To look at a woman, to lust after her, is to commit adultery in your heart. So he's dealing with not just the law of the commandments. Now he's dealing with the inward hatred, the inward lust, the inward anger. So to preach the law to our children would be to deal with their anger, to deal with their hatred. They're hating their brother. You know, my younger brother gave me a lot of grief when I was growing up. I was young, and oftentimes he just adored me. He looked up to me. He wanted to be like his older brother, but he was always in the way. He was always bothering me. And many times I would say things to him, or I'd push him away. He would fall, and then he would cry. And when he cried, oh, the windows of heaven opened up. Windows were breaking. Everyone in the whole neighborhood could hear it, including my father. And so my father disciplined me very severely about the way I treated my brother. And he made a strong impression to me that to hate my brother or to be angry with him was not acceptable, was not ever acceptable. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Okay, so we have to preach the law to them. Don't steal. Don't steal. How do you preach the law to, how do you preach this to the child? You say, when you steal, you are hurting someone. Someone is suffering loss because of you. You have to help them feel that. Then they have compassion. That touches their humanity. Now, don't covet. Teach them to be satisfied with what they have, to be thankful, to be grateful to their parents, to their teachers, to always say thank you. You see, these are elements of the Ten Commandments that we could preach to our children. In fact, Brother Lee said, we have to give them the law in a strong way. In other words, the law will press on you and press on you and will not let up. It will not let you go. The law will keep them in custody for Christ. Okay, so now we come to Romans 4, and we're going to be touching this in the next session as well. To compile material for the teachers, we need a number of brothers who know the truth and are skilled in writing. Okay, we need some brothers, sisters too, who know the truth of God's economy, the truth concerning the law as a child conductor, the truth concerning many matters, so that they can compile the lessons. They need to know the truth and be skilled in writing. And as we go through these last three sessions of the conference, we're going to touch more and more what this point means. What does it mean to know the truth? Well, you'll know what to teach a 5-year-old. You'll know what to teach a 7-year-old. You'll know what to teach an 11-year-old, because it's not the same. Paul said to the Corinthians, I fed you with milk and not with meat, because you were not able to take it. You see, he knew where they were, and because he knew where they were, he could feed them according to where they were. You see, this is to know the truth and to be skilled in writing. Point A says we should give the 5- and 6-year-olds one thing, and the 7- and 8-year-olds something else. We need some brothers and sisters who understand this principle to prepare the lessons. Okay? So we don't teach them all the same thing. So what do we teach a 5- and 6-year-old? What do we teach a 7- and 8-year-old? What's different? What is different? Well, you have to come back in the next sessions. We are going to get into this in more detail. Point B, this requires the careful work of the brothers who compile the teaching material so that the children do not receive premature knowledge. Oh boy, talk about premature knowledge. That opens up a lot of questions. So stay with us. We will fellowship about this. Premature knowledge is to tell a child something before it's the right time. To tell a 5-year-old what you want to teach a 7-year-old is premature knowledge. But it may not be premature for a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old. Okay? It's a moving target, saints. It's not just a cut and dried definition. Premature knowledge has a lot to do with teaching the intrinsic significance, teaching spiritual things to children before Christ. You don't talk to an unbeliever about Christ being the life-giving spirit. No, you teach them something else so that they will believe in Christ. To teach a child about the spiritual, the Lord being the spirit, before you teach them the law, is premature knowledge. Okay, we have to read these points. One, the most important matter is to build up the humanity and character of the children. This is neglected by many parents today. Again, he comes back and says, the most important matter is humanity and character. There is the need, point two, there is the need for some brothers and sisters to spend the time to prepare lessons and instructions on how to use them. First, we have to prepare the lessons, and then we have to teach, train the teachers how to use them, how to use this lesson for a 5- and 6-year-old, how to use the same lesson for a 7- or 8-year-old, and even how to use the same story or lesson for a 10, 11, or 12-year-old. Okay, so we need lessons, and then we need instructions. Point three, we should not, circle the word not, prepare uniform printed lessons to be read in each class. Don't do all the work for the teachers. Don't do all the work so they just stand up there and read all the points. No. Perhaps half a page of points, illustrations, and instructions is adequate. Just give some points. When you train the teachers and you give them instructions how to use the lessons, you equip them on how to prepare for that class. And parents, saints, we need to take some time for this. This is not something, oh, pick it up on the Lord's Day morning and say, oh, yeah, I got it. I can teach this. No. We have to pray. We have to fellowship with the Lord. We have to exercise our spirit. We have to open to Him how to deliver this to 5- and 6-year-olds. You think this is easy? Oh, you think the campus work is hard? I believe the children's work is the most difficult stage, much more difficult than any other stage. Saints, we need serious brothers and sisters to give themselves to this labor. Just don't prepare lessons to be read. No, perhaps half a page of points, illustrations, and instructions is adequate. It should be easy to prepare lessons in this way. I think we're going to touch this again later. Romans 5. When many of us were young, we received too much knowledge that only damaged us. I grew up in Sunday school. I can testify. We received knowledge. It didn't help. It damaged. In fact, I think that probably my first 10 or more years in the church life was a time of emptying out the law, the commandments, the demands, the religious thoughts, the concepts. We were given many stories, but were not given the proper verses in a practical way. After hearing all the teachings and stories from the Bible, young ones become slippery so that nothing sticks to them. We must not spoil the young ones in this way. Their ears become slippery. Oh, I heard that Jesus died on a cross for me. I heard He shed His blood. I've heard it 100 times. I heard the Easter story. I heard the Christmas story. I heard, oh, this and that, how they did this, did that, how the disciples healed, how I heard the stories, the whole Bible. By the time I was older, I was tired of those stories. And you know what? In Christianity, they're still telling the Easter story on Easter Sunday, the Christmas story on Christmas, and the ears are all slippery. Nothing sticks. Brother Lee thought we should withhold some stories. And as we go on in the next 2 sessions, you'll see why. this is why we should, let me read the point again. B, those who have never heard the stories before are easily inspired by them. This is why we should withhold certain stories and simply help the children to know the things of humanity and of God in a practical way. Okay, humanity and God in a practical way. There it is again. Build them up in their humanity. Point C, then when they are saved and begin to attend the church meetings, what they hear will be new to them. See, this is a work BC, before Christ. Okay, it's a work of preparation. It's a work in the principle of the law. It's a work before Christ. You see how this is? Point D, but we have to beware of 2 things. Okay, saints, 2 things we need to be watchful for. This is Brother Watchman Nee, by the way. First, there is the possibility of premature spiritual knowledge. He puts in the word spiritual. Second, we can give away biblical truths too cheaply. Some teachers are too spiritual. Some sisters are very spiritual. They're too spiritual. when they teach the children. They tell children teachings that are too high and too spiritual. This gives the children premature spiritual knowledge. You talk about the body of Christ. Talk about the cross. Talk about bearing the cross. Oh, these things are too high, too spiritual. Even young people graduated from the training don't understand these points. We can't teach them to the children. You can't help them. Saints, these are things of revelation. They're not things of teaching by knowledge. Don't be too spiritual. Talk about practical things related to their humanity. Point two, other teachers treat spiritual things too lightly in an attempt to make the children understand. They take matters of calling on the name of the Lord. They treat it too lightly. To be one spirit with the Lord, the body of Christ, sometimes we throw out these terms to the children. We treat it too lightly. These are heavy truths. These are deep revelations. These are not something you can teach a child. You can only make their ears slippery with these kinds of expressions. The point continues, their speaking does not do justice to the spiritual weight of their subject and gives away the truth too cheaply. Saints, you see, there's a lot for us to learn, a lot for us to be perfected in how we raise up our next generation. May the Lord cover us with his precious blood and be with us as we really open to him for a new beginning, that all over Europe there would be a children's work by the parents in the churches with the saints raising up, preparing children who are useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. May the Lord do it. Come back for the next session and we'll continue this fellowship. Amen. I'll stop here.